there. Thanks for listening to Let's Talk Withdrawal, a weekly discussion on antidepressants and the issues surrounding them.
Hello, this is James, and welcome to episode 18 of Let's Talk Withdrawal, a weekly podcast discussing antidepressants and mental health. A little later, I'll be going through some of the feedback. Thanks so much for getting in touch. Please keep your messages coming. It's great to hear from you. But first, we have an interview with Simone. Simone describes her experiences with postnatal depression, fibromyalgia, and her treatment with antidepressants, and describes the role that nutrition played in her recovery. Simone now supports and coaches people with their health and well-being, and her excellent and informative website can be found at www.bodyworks.healthcare. Simone, thank you so much for talking with me today. Can I start by asking you to tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be involved with antidepressants in the first place?
So my journey probably started about 2006. That was when I had just had my first child. And a very common story, I think, a very common thread with most new mums, it's a hell of a shock. It's a shock to the system. It's a shock to the hormones. It's a shock to your whole life. And I am very much somebody who wears their heart on their sleeve. And I can genuinely say I was a bit shocked about motherhood. I was like, what have I done? I don't understand. Why do people say they love this child? Because I just didn't bond. I didn't get it. And I beat myself up about it. I was absolutely just taken aback by the fact that I didn't know how to bond with this child. And I was like meeting these new mums, and they were doting after their children, and they would look at them with such love. And I was looking at my child thinking, I don't get it. They're all lying. They're just, these parents are lying. It can't be that easy. And I just thought, okay, now I need to take a step back and say there's a problem here. So I went to the doctor and I said, I was just crying all the time. So I went to the doctor and said that I think I've got depression. And they said, yes, you do. And here are some drugs. And I started taking the drugs, hoping that it would make me feel better. And it would make me fall in love with my child and that I would stop crying and all the other things that you hope when you're feeling low. So that was the first kind of part of my journey with antidepressants. As it so happened, it didn't make me feel any better. I felt absolutely numb. I felt numb. I couldn't feel anything. Didn't feel happy. I didn't feel sad. I didn't feel anything. So I thought, okay, that's also not great. I should probably mention that my background is in complementary therapies. Okay. So in my heart of hearts, I know that these things aren't going to work for me, because I don't believe in taking a drug to help cure something necessarily. But I did it because I felt desperate. And I took them probably for about a year and a half, 2 years. I'd had my second child as well by then. And then I decided to come off of them.
Thank you. And I just wanted to ask, when you were first prescribed your antidepressant, did you know much about adverse effects or potential withdrawal difficulties?
Well, I think at that point I was desperate enough to have been told anything, that if it's going to help, then I'll take it. But my heart of hearts knew that this was not something that I would want to be on forever, and that it was a temporary measure. I don't think she said anything about symptoms and side effects. I know that I knew probably from reading up about it and being sensible but stupid to read the side effects in the instructions in the box, because I think there's an element of placebo, and I think that you can create a lot of issues and side effects if you think about it too much. So yes, you know, you have your normal things like your dry mouth. I did feel nauseous. Those are the main kind of symptoms that I think I remember feeling. Again, I also have an anxiety around feeling those things. So if I read that the side effects could be nausea, then it's amazing how powerful the mind is.
I agree. The drawbacks and negatives quite often are immediate, aren't they? And often they cause more difficulties than you get benefit, even if the tablet works at all.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and actually, I mean, nowhere in the literature does it ever say, you're going to feel good on this. You're going to feel, this is going to make your life better. You are going to feel better. Things are going to go forward. You're going to be positive. No, you're sitting reading, you already feel rubbish, and now you're going to feel even more rubbish. So it kind of doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, so that was kind of actually the first time that I took it, and then I came off of it, and then I was put on some other things further down the line for other health issues. But anyway.
And Simone, during that time that you were taking your antidepressant, Did you feel you got any benefit at all from them, or do you feel that the adverse effects were the main thing that happened?
So this is kind of interesting because there are three parts to my process. The first part being when I had the postnatal depression, I was put on a specific brand, which I felt nothing but numb. That was it, just numb. I came off of those, had the typical withdrawal symptoms, the head whooshes, probably more anxiety than I'd had originally, and just felt rubbish.
And can I just ask, how did you come off those initial tablets? Did you just stop them?
Never. No, I would never, ever recommend anyone does that. Doesn't matter how long you've been on them. Never, ever, ever do that. And don't think you're being clever by doing that, because it's the worst thing you can do. You're going to create more problems doing it that way. Yeah. I tapered off them the way I was told to taper off them, but actually it didn't make much of a difference to the symptoms. Maybe if I hadn't listened to the doctor and I had come off them straight away, the symptoms would have been worse. The head whooshes would have been worse, and maybe for longer, I don't know. But because I followed the way, you know, you're recommended to do it, I can't tell you. I don't know. I had the head whooshes, I had symptoms, I felt terrible. They probably lasted a month to 2 months, but I did it as prescribed.
I think it's very wise to follow medical advice when and if you get it. Many, like me, get doctors saying withdrawal doesn't happen at all, but I'm glad you had a sympathetic doctor who could advise you to withdraw slowly.
Definitely. I've seen what coming off antidepressants does if you just literally go cold turkey, and it's not pretty.
You're right, it can be very bad and even occasionally result in hospitalisation in extreme cases. Okay, Simon, so what happened next?
So that was the first part. That was the postnatal depression. I carried on through life trying to figure out why I felt the way I did. My job was very physical. I was a massage therapist. I specialised with deep tissue massage and reflexology. Loved my job. Loved my job. But couldn't understand over the years. Was just in immense pain all the time. Absolutely exhausted. Not just tired. I mean, physically knocked out. Couldn't move. I had young children, two young boys. Needed their mum. Needed energy. Got to about 2012, maybe before that. Was going to consultant after consultant after consultant. Please tell me, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Nobody could give me an answer. Oh, you're stressed. Okay, well, everybody's stressed. Let's deal with it. Okay, we'll throw some more drugs at you. So I was put on a particular drug, which is a very common drug that they give people who suffer with chronic pain. And it was probably even worse than the original drug that I went on. But again, you live in the hope that these drugs are going to help you feel better. And I actually wasn't on them for a very long period of time because I really felt dreadful on them. They didn't help my pain. They didn't help any aspect of my life. So I weaned myself off of them as recommended by the maxillofacial surgeon that put me on them. That was a very difficult but short period of my medical journey there. And then, and I think there's a theme here, because I think there's obviously at some point somebody has to really take a good look at their lives and say, okay, what's really going on here? So I got to breaking point with my pain and ended up going back to the GP and saying, this is not normal. And I need to see somebody who can deal with this. And was sent to a rheumatologist who was a wonderful man who understood where I was coming from. And he sent me back to a pain management program to help me learn how to deal with the pain on the NHS, which was fabulous. But he also sent me to a pain psychiatrist. And that is the next and final part of my journey with regards to antidepressants.
Okay, so what happened next on your journey?
So I was very against taking any mind-altering drugs at that point. I said to him, I'm coming to you. I don't want to talk about my past. I just want to deal with the things now, but I'm not taking any drugs. And he never forced me to take any drugs. And he said, that's not going to be a discussion now. Let's deal with the problem now. So we had quite a few sessions, and I was going back and forth with whether I should be on something. And I did go back on an antidepressant. And in a positive way, I have to say, it was one of the better ones that I'd been on. I actually started to feel a little bit more normal and a little bit more like myself. But I still hated the fact that I was taking something to improve my life. And then from there, I decided that actually I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And that is when I decided to take a long, hard look at my life and actually search my soul and change my nutrition. That was the key.
Thank you, Simon. And could you tell us a bit more about nutrition and some of the other changes in your life and how that helped you manage your chronic pain?
So by the end of 2014, so I started the antidepressants, started to feel a little bit more normal, but decided that I just didn't want to live in pain. I didn't want to live feeling unhappy. and decided to change lots of aspects of my life. So I did the pain management program, which helped. And actually, the pain psychiatrist helped enormously. And I actually put a lot of his help down to being, and I don't want to sound dramatic here, but probably saving my life. And he's a wonderful man. And his name's Professor George Ikos. And so I changed lots of things, physical things. And then I realized that nutrition was a key influencer, not just in my pain, which I now live pretty much pain-free, but also within my moods. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. That's why I'm so passionate about helping people with this sort of thing. But it changed how I felt about myself, my moods, my everything. I mean, I can't tell you the difference it made, but just by changing my nutrition. And then I researched more and more and more about it, and more about depression, more about chronic pain, more about inflammation, because depression is a manifestation and is a manifestation of inflammation in the body. And that's the thing that needs to be tackled. It really cannot be tackled with drugs. I truly don't believe it can be. It's just masking it. And I think the biggest problem, it's not a problem. What it is it's if you want to change your life, you have to change it. You cannot expect somebody else to do it. You can't expect a pill to make things better. And it will help going to a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a counselor. These things help. But it's still taking the responsibility away from yourself.
I agree with you. And certainly for me, when I had my diagnosis for my mental health issue initially, I thought that was a positive thing. But actually, I came to realize it was just a limiting belief.
Yeah. And I think the NHS are a wonderful system for acute problems. And I think when it comes to anything chronic, it's about giving a pill. And I think it's unfortunate. I think people don't want to take responsibility for their health. And I am really, really, I strongly believe that depression is your body's way of saying there's a problem with your life. You need to look at your life. You need to see what's making you this unhappy at this point in your life. Deal with it. It could be you're unhappy with your job. It could be unhappy with your relationship. It could be happy with your financial situation. There's aspects of your life that cause discontent. And the only way that you can move forward from that is if you really take a good hard look at your life and make changes. Yeah. And changes are scary, but I promise you it's possible.
That's so true. And you're so passionate and clear about it that it's obvious that you've seen and experienced this approach work both in yourself and in others. Simone, can I ask you to tell us about your work with people to coach and support them in dealing with some of these issues?
Well, after I was diagnosed with a condition called fibromyalgia, which is a chronic widespread pain condition, I had to stop doing my massage. But I'm so passionate about helping people that I retrained to become a health and wellbeing coach. I did actually specialize in becoming a coach for fibromyalgia, but I recognized that this whole process of becoming a coach has actually made me realize that people really struggle to invest in themselves and make changes necessary to improve their life because we are so used to outsourcing with drugs to or with somebody else that can fix us. And I would say to anybody, you're worth the investment. You have one life. That's it. So make changes. So my passion is about helping people make changes, whether it's through nutrition, whether it's through mindset changes, which are unbelievably powerful and important to look at. I don't claim to be able to cure people, but I think I like to consider that I support people in their journey. If somebody really wants to make a change, I'm passionate about helping people make that change.
Well, that really comes across. Thank goodness that there are people like you who will take the time to understand what has brought someone to that point in their lives, rather than perhaps a medical view of a 5-minute consultation, there you go, take a pill, which could well cause significant additional disruption to your life.
I mean, I think that doctors, they are general practitioners most of the time, as you know. They don't have time. They are under so much pressure. They cannot look at somebody's life holistically. It's not possible to look at someone's life holistically in 10 minutes. They're also up against people self-diagnosing a lot of the time because we have the power of the internet. And that is scary. That is really scary. But I pride myself on giving people time and space to problem solve because it's really about solving a problem. And you know, I've done a lot of reading. I was going to mention a particular American psychiatrist who dedicated her career to helping people with psychiatric health issues. And you know, I don't claim to have done any of the research on antidepressants, but she has. And her name is Kelly Brogan. And she is phenomenal. And I highly recommend, if you're going to put any notes on this podcast, that people look at her website and read her book. Her book is called A Mind of Your Own. And she has dedicated 15 or more years into researching facts and the medical research around, or the lack of it, around what antidepressants do and don't do. And she has, her website is unbelievably informative. I'll read what she's put on one of her blogs about depression. And it basically says that there is not a single study that has proven that depression is caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain.
I completely agree with that, and it's such a common justification for treatment with drugs, but actually the evidence shows the only chemical imbalance is the one created when you take an antidepressant.
100%. And, you know, more and more research is showing that the work needs to come from the gut, not the brain. We need to look, and again, this is why doctors don't have time or even the facilities to test people. Have they got a thyroid problem? Are they deficient in vitamin B or vitamin D? We don't get enough sunlight. We need more sun. We need to not be scared of the sun and by covering ourselves with protection. We need vitamin D. There are so many natural remedies that can help take some of the symptoms of depression away. But the key is it's a message. It's a message for you to stop and ask yourself, what is it that I'm so unhappy about? Why am I discontent? What is it that is making my life so miserable? Why?
That's right. And as you said so well, antidepressants can only ever mask that. They can never address the root cause.
Yeah. It's a simple solution, but it's not the solution, though.
No, not at all. And in my case, it gave me a whole load of extra health challenges and problems to deal with. And you get so wrapped up and intent on dealing with those that you then don't have the energy and motivation left to address the fundamental problems in your life.
Yeah. And then the potential of all the other symptoms, the side effects that you get from taking them. I mean, it's really enough to make somebody go mad. And that's the irony, actually. You know, you're taking something because you think you're going mad. And then the symptoms that you're going to get from the potential of symptoms, the side effects that you're going to get from taking an antidepressant is, you know, it's absolutely mind blowing. And even to the extent, and I say this with the hand on my heart because I listened to a man talk about it, that he was put on antidepressants, probably more antipsychotic drugs, because he was going through a bad time in his life and ended up sadly murdering his own child. Yeah. Now, who on earth would want to even risk that in their life or commit suicide? And these drugs do have those effects on people.
They sadly do. And there is some acknowledgement that they can increase suicidal thinking in adolescents and young children. But it seems like the problem is far more widespread than that. And I know that I personally have had many more suicidal thoughts on the antidepressants than before I took them.
That makes me so sad, because it's just so unnecessary to feel like that. I'm not saying that there are emotional issues that can go on in someone's life in their past that have made them so sad or so miserable, or really to the extent that they feel that suicide is the only answer. But that is not a chemical imbalance necessarily. Definitely. That is still, you know, somebody still needs to look at their life and say, how do I move forward from this? How do I stop living in the past? Or how can I move forward and improve my life? And I go back to the mindset thing, because mindset is so powerful. Our inner chatter, our negative inner chatter, our self-sabotaging behavior is so damaging to us. So damaging. And that's in all aspects. I deal with people with weight issues a lot of the time. It's a habitual negative behavior. We have to work hard at finding joy. That's really sad. But we do have to find, you know, we have to work hard at it. We have to stop this inner chatter, this constant negative talk, this self-damaging behavior. And it takes work.
It does. You're right. And I'm sure, Simone, you find the same as me. You look at your children and you gradually start to see anxiety creep in for them. Maybe things said at school or watched on television or social media. And it makes you feel bad as a parent that you can't and shouldn't protect them from everything. But the reality of life feeds anxiety, doesn't it?
It feeds anxiety. There are more suicides now with young children or self-harming because of social media, because of just the negative influences that we have in our life. We didn't have that. We didn't have all the scaremongering that we have nowadays. It's so hard. I actually fear for my children's future, because I am so worried about how I protect them from such a negative environment.
I agree. We really should be supporting children to develop and strengthen their mental health at school, just as we encourage them to eat well and look after their physical health, shouldn't we?
100%. And I think with regards to our children, I think how we talk to them and the use of our own language and our own projection needs to be very, very mindful of how we speak to our children.
I can honestly say, so far, for me, the only positive thing in experiencing so much anxiety and depression is that it's given me the ability to help my daughter hopefully come to recognise those feelings and manage her thinking better. I wish that I'd learned those skills so much earlier in life.
Absolutely. And I think that's actually a really important, well, it's, I mean, it's a whole subject on its own, isn't it, James, this whole how we deal with our children? Because, again, I suffered terribly with panic attacks. My first panic attack when I was heavily pregnant with my first child, right. And I think that was something that totally scared me. And then I continued to have panic attacks for years and years after. And another amazing, amazing reference for people to go to is an institute called the Human Givens Institute. And they produced, I was told about that by a physiotherapist. And they have a book. They have a variety of books. They have lots of books. But they have a book on anxiety, panic attacks and depression. And I read that book, and I didn't actually even need to complete that book, because when I discovered or understood the science, the physiological effect of what anxiety was doing to my body, it scared me so much that I realized that I need to stop creating this anxiety in my body, because I'm creating it. It's my brain creating it. Once I learned that, once I learned how to manage my own thoughts around my anxiety, I stopped having panic attacks, and I learnt the signs of that anxiety coming on, and then managed to, I literally talk myself out of it.
Being able to recognise those feelings and manage your own thinking is such an important skill, isn't it? I'm really pleased that we are starting to talk about mental health education and mindfulness in schools, and towards good mental health rather than constantly talking about mental illness. I think those things for kids are as valuable as maths and English and social skills, because modern life seems almost designed to make us fearful and envious and jealous and bring out all those negative characteristics, and we seem to be really losing the ability to appreciate the joy in life.
Yeah, and I will just mention, in terms of the schooling and our children and everything else, well, actually, it's just across the board, nutrition is so important. And we know we are feeding our children crap. We know we are. We are surrounding ourselves and our children with sugar. And this is where I start going off on a complete preaching mode. But sugar is not only killing us, but it's causing a lot of mental health problems. There is a lot of research around it now. You know, having highs and lows is related to your poor nutrition. Okay, we know that for a fact, because if you're, you know, you have a sugar high and then you feel rubbish and you have your sugar low, we need to find ways to balance that out, which is possible. I've done it, and I've done it for many other people, you know, helped other people do it. But sugar causes inflammation in the body. Depression is an inflammatory disorder. And I think one of the biggest, if anybody is thinking about taking antidepressants, don't do it. Stop taking sugar. Take sugar out of your diet and see how you feel, because I promise you, you will feel so much better.
Well, that certainly is advice that I need to take myself, because nutrition is a major problem for me. But in the conversations that I've had for the podcast so far, there are common themes about reactions to psychiatric drugs and problems with withdrawal. But on the positive side of things, the common thread around all those that have made real progress is that they've fundamentally addressed issues in their lives, like diet, the amount of exercise they get, the social interactions they have, the reduction in time spent on social media or in front of the television. Within 4 or 5 conversations, you can start to map out those themes.
Yeah. And I think that should be such a positive experience for people. The people that are listening to this, they're listening to it for a reason. Maybe they're feeling there's no hope for them. They're at their wit's end about how they're going to figure out how to get through life. This is your answer. There's a theme. And I think, you know, take on board, take responsibility for your own health. Try not to find the answer in somebody else, or with somebody else, or with a doctor, or with a pill. The answer is within you. And I think that should be the resounding factor that people should take. The answer's within you.
That's great advice. Thank you. And just to close, Simone, I just wondered, do you have any advice for someone who may be considering taking an antidepressant?
I think that if anybody is considering taking antidepressants for whatever reason, whether they're going through a hard time in their life, I really want people to know that there are other ways to deal with it more naturally, that I hope that people realize that maybe it's a temporary situation that they're going through, and with the right support, with empathy from family, friends, medical, a coach, whoever, that there are so many options out there that means you don't have to reach for a pill. A pill is not going to fix you.
That's great. Thank you, Simone. You've been brilliant. I'm so grateful to you for taking the time to share your story with me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure.
I found it fascinating and enlightening talking with Simone, and I'm sure you did too.
Feedback.
Thank you so much for getting in touch and giving me your feedback. It's great to know that you're finding this podcast interesting and informative. And I'm keen for as many as possible to discover this podcast in iTunes, and reviews really help that. If you're listening in iTunes now, please leave a review. It takes just a couple of minutes, but it makes a big difference. Thank you.
Please do not increase, decrease, or stop your psychoactive prescription medication without the advice and support of a medical or mental health professional.
Thank you so much for listening, and please come back next week for another episode. Until next time, take care.
Thank you so much for listening to Let's Talk Withdrawal. Come back next week for more news and views. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review and subscribe in iTunes.